Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
Born during the reign of King Uzziah, I grew amidst the shadows of the temple and the bustling streets of Jerusalem. My youth was marked by the clatter of commerce, the whispers of sages, and the solemn rituals of our priests. As a child, I often gazed upon the hills of Judah, feeling the ancient stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stir in my soul. I wandered the courtyards of the Lord's house, where the incense rose like prayers to the heavens and the chants of Levites filled the air. In those early years, the seeds of faith were sown deep within me, watered by the teachings of our elders and the enduring words of the Torah. Yet, the world of my youth was not just one of spiritual fervor, it was a time of earthly splendor. King Uzziah's reign brought prosperity and strength. Our borders expanded and our people flourished. Still beneath this facade of success, the heart of Judah was adrift, pulled by currents of pride and complacency. I witnessed the perils of forgetting the Lord amidst the glitter of wealth and the might of armies. It was a lesson that would later echo in my calling. The turning point came in the year that King Uzziah died, struck down by his own pride. It was then, in the temple, amidst my own turmoil and the nation's uncertainty, that I received a vision. I saw the Lord, high and exalted, his glory filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, their cries of "Holy, holy, holy," shaking the very foundations. In that moment, the majesty of the Almighty eclipsed all earthly grandeur I had known. Overwhelmed by my unworthiness, I cried out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." Yet, in his mercy, the Lord purified me, a seraph touching my lips with a burning coal, and my guilt was taken away. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I answered, "Here am I. Send me." Thus began my journey as a prophet called to speak to a nation at the crossroads. My ministry, born in a time of transition, was to be a beacon calling Judah back to the path of righteousness, to remind them of the Lord's sovereignty and to foretell the coming of a kingdom not of this world. I served under Ahaz, a king who walked in the valleys of disbelief, whose heart was as cold as the altars he erected to foreign gods. In his reign, I saw the despair of a nation led astray, the bitter fruits of faithlessness. Then came Hezekiah, his son, like a dawn after a long night. Hezekiah, with a heart open to the skies, sought to heal the wounds his father had inflicted upon our land. He tore down the idols, cleansed the temple, and rekindled the flame of our covenant with the Lord. In him, I saw the hope of redemption, a chance for our people to return to the embrace of the Almighty. I remember when the Lord gave me the message to instruct Hezekiah to make preparations for his death. The king was hardly a man of 40, younger than me, yet he was still older than the age at which his father died. Yet even Hezekiah, in his later years, faltered under the weight of his own pride. His display of riches to Babylonian envoys, a moment of vanity, cast a shadow over his legacy. It was a misstep, a deviation from the path of humility, reminding me that even the most devout hearts are not immune to the lure of human frailty. Peace be upon you, Your Majesty.
Ah, Isaiah, your visit is timely. I have much on my mind.
I am aware of the envoys from Babylon who have recently left your court. What transpired, my king?
They came bearing gifts and good wishes, marveled at my good health and our nation's recovery from Assyria's grasp. I showed them our treasuries, the armory, and even the house of our God. Nothing in my kingdom was kept from them.
Hezekiah, why have you shown your kingdom's wealth to Babylon? Do you not know their ambition?
I thought it wise to forge alliances to show our strength and God's blessing upon us. Surely this display will bring us respect and peace.
Respect and peace, you say? Your heart, though well-intentioned, has been swayed by pride. The Lord has blessed Judah abundantly, not for boasting to foreign lands, but to glorify his name.
But Isaiah, should we not take pride in what the Lord has done for us? Why hide our blessings under a bushel?
It is one thing to be thankful for God's blessings, another to display them for earthly gain. The Lord's blessings are not for our glory, but his. Your actions have consequences that reach beyond your reign.
Consequences? What do you speak of, Isaiah?
The days will come when all that is in your house and what your ancestors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord.
All to Babylon? But why? Have I not been faithful?
Faithfulness is more than outward devotion. It is humility, reliance on God's wisdom, and seeking his counsel. This display of wealth to the Babylonians is a seed that will grow into Judah's captivity. What a missed opportunity to give God credit for your recovery and to assert his power to change lives, not in material ways, but for eternity. The tale of Hezekiah is not just the story of a king, but a lesson for us all. It is a call to unwavering faith, a warning against the lure of pride, and a reminder that our actions have ripples through time, shaping futures we may never see. Then there was Manasseh, Hezekiah's son, who plunged deeper into darkness than Ahaz ever did. Under his rule, I witnessed the unraveling of all that Hezekiah had built. The temples to foreign gods rose again, and the streets of Jerusalem ran red with the blood of the innocent. The contrast between father and son could not have been starker, a testament to the fragile nature of our commitment to righteousness. As I ponder these kings, their virtues and their vices, I see a tapestry of choices, each thread colored by the decisions of its weaver. Hezekiah, for all his wisdom and piety, was but a man, susceptible to the same temptations that ensnare us all. His life, when held against the backdrop of his father's and his son's, stands as a ray of light and a cautionary tale. It reminds us the path of righteousness is fraught with challenges, that each step towards the light is a step wrested from the shadows. In the quiet of my contemplation, where the whispers of the divine brush against the fabric of time, I find myself caught between the now and the not yet. While I remember fondly Hezekiah, a ruler whose footsteps echoed with the promise of righteousness within the sacred chambers of prophecy, I glimpse another, an anointed one, whose coming I have foretold with words painted in hope and longing. Unlike Hezekiah, whose kingdom was bound by the confines of time and flesh, there is a coming king whose reign is eternal, with a dominion founded not just on the laws of stone, but on the very spirit of the law. Where Hezekiah fought against flesh and blood, the one who is to come battles the deeper darkness of the soul, bringing liberation, not by the sword, but through sacrifice and unyielding love. The Messiah, as I have seen in the visions granted to me, shall not only restore, but transcend the works of our forefathers. He will not merely cleanse the temple, he will embody it, making his very being the meeting place between the divine and the human. He will not just lead Passover, he will become it, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. In Hezekiah, we saw a glimpse of what could be, a ruler who walked in the ways of David, who sought the Lord with a whole heart. Yet in the Messiah, we see the fulfillment of an ancient longing, a ruler who will not only walk in the ways of David, but will complete them, bringing a kingdom that melds justice with mercy, strength with compassion, holiness with love.